but my sneaking wasn't good enough. Harold caught me and wondered if I would share, and I said, yeah, I'd be willing to share. I'm not a fancy preacher. I'm just a good old country boy preacher, and the things you're going to hear today are things that God has laid on my heart, and they're simple enough for the young and the old to understand. I don't claim to be an eloquent speaker, but yet just bringing to you what God has to say in His Word. And I trust that you will receive this morning from God and His Word. My title for the message this morning, In or Out. This morning when we came to this building, you didn't leave half of yourself on the outside. Your whole being came in here. When you sit in your car, you don't sit in the car with the feet or the arms hanging out. You're either in or out. And this morning, I don't want to discourage anyone or question your relationship with God, but I would just simply like to challenge you to know that this morning you can know whether you're in or out. And we just sang that little chorus, we've got the power. Why don't we live like it? And you know, I'll tell you what, folks, this morning, the reason we don't live like that is because we like to be partway in and partway out. We want one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Let's go to John 15. We're either in or out. John 15, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. This morning, if we claim to be so holy and so righteous and so pious, where is our fruit? About the only thing we're getting done these days is take care of ourselves. We do our own thing in our own way in our own time without helping others. Zig Ziglar says that the way to success is to help more other people and get what they want before you help yourself. It says, the same bringeth forth much fruit. This morning, we're a little bit like some of the cornfields around here. You know, you look at the outside edge, or you look at that edge where it was too wet. And about the only thing that corn is producing is nubbins. I wonder, and God help us, we don't have to produce nubbins this morning. We have the power. This morning, if we get the root right, the fruit will be right. I think the problem today is we're like the children of Israel. After that marvelous deliverance, they wanted to go back into Egypt. They wanted the leeks and the garlic. Why can't we grow to become more and more like Jesus instead of always, when we change toward the world? Folks, I'd just like to ask you and challenge you this morning. All the changes that you've made in the last 20 years, is it for the world, toward the world, or is it to be more spiritual? I'll tell you what, we need to hang our heads in shame because our changes have been more toward the world than toward the church and God. I'm blaming myself. I'm looking at myself. It says, if ye abide in me, you're going to bring forth much fruit. Not a little bit, but much. I'm just going to drop a little challenge here. You know, we have doctrinal issues, doctrinal principles in the Bible that are there for our good. Let's just take the example of modesty. We have people of all ages, and even in our some of our beloved churches, they're questioning what is modest and what is not. To me this morning, to the child of God, modesty should never become an issue. Should it, Tom? I don't think it should. It should never be questioned whether this is modest and that is modest. God has given us the Holy Spirit to direct us so that we know the answers to some of these difficult issues that are facing today. What's wrong with this branch? It's cut off. It looks all right to me. You're right. It's cut off. Pardon? In a couple hours it will wilt. You know, this morning, folks, this is a beautiful lesson for you and me. If we are not attached to the vine, we're going to be cut off and we're going to wilt. What's going to happen to this? It's going to wilt. And these leaves, by another hour or so, these leaves are going to be dark brown and this wood is going to rot or burn. This morning, if I'm not abiding in Jesus Christ this morning, that's what's going to happen to you and me. Is that hard to understand? No, it's not. Can I reattach this to the tree? You know, if it was really small like this, and if I was a good grafter, I could probably graft that back into the tree. But this size limb, no, never. Can I ask one of the children to take it out there in the flower bed and water it and see if it'll grow? No, it's not going to grow. And that's the way some of us are. We like to go to church. We like to hear powerful sermons. We like to go to revival meetings. But the next day we wake up and we're just as bad off as we were before. We try to water it and get it to grow. And we're unattached. We're not attached to the vine. I can't put this in the ground and expect it to grow. It won't happen. Unless you and me this morning are attached to the vine, we're not going to grow either. So much for that lesson. Alrighty. Verse 6 says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're talking about being in or out. We're talking about abiding or not abiding. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I gleaned a new thought there a while back on that word imputation. That word simply means to attribute a fault or a misconduct to another. Charge with, ascribe to. Isaiah 53:6 says, "The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." To ascribe guilt to a person as coming from another is used to designate any action or word or thing as reckoned to a person. Three things about this word. The sin of Adam is imputed to all his descendants. It is reckoned as theirs. And they are dealt with, and therefore we are guilty. Adam's sin was imputed to you and me. Number two, our sins then are imputed to Christ. He took our law place, undertook to answer the demand of justice for our sins. God took our sins and laid it on Jesus. Now the third aspect of this word I like the best, and I tell you it's wonderful. Imputation. The righteousness of Christ is imputed to them that believe in Him, attributed to them as to be considered their own. The only way that we can be acceptable to God is a righteousness that is imputed to you and me. Not produced by ourselves, but it's been imputed to us. That's why we have the power. Because of our sinful nature that was imputed to us through Adam, we could not commune with God until Jesus died on the cross, and now His righteousness is imputed unto us. In Christ, and imputed to us the righteousness of Christ, and imparted to us His own nature. And this morning, folks, we're living far below our privileges in our God-given power and blessings that God has given to us. Life is full of questions that has no answers. We have problems, difficulties, upsets, and backsets. Our successes or victories are going to be determined whether we're in or out. It's not a question if or maybe or someday, but are you in Christ? Are you abiding in Christ? Where is your focus? In what direction is that focus taking you? Is your focus on activity, pleasure, world, money, health, or is your focus on Christ? Mary and Martha is a good example. Martha was concerned about doing. Her focus was on fixing the meal. Mary's focus was on Jesus. That's the way our focus should be. Whatever your focus is, that's the way you will travel. That's the way you're going to live your life. Your decisions and choices are going to be made according to our focuses, our focus. What's in the heart, that's the way you go. I like the German better in that one, and those of you who can understand it can appreciate it. Was das Herz voll ist, kommt das Mund über. In other words, what's in the heart is going to come out. You can't help it. Whenever we put God first, when we really want to please Him, then that becomes our focus or our reference point. Everything we do, every problem or difficulty will be looked at through that focus. And if you don't mind this morning, I'm just going to give you a little bit some of the lessons that I learned through the experience of my wife's sickness. When my wife was first diagnosed with cancer, we could hardly think anything else. It was almost overwhelming. And we soon had to learn and we soon had to decide amongst ourselves that that dare not become our primary focus. Does that mean I didn't love my wife? No. I love my wife dearly. But that was not to become our focus. Our focus was to be the Lord Jesus. And folks, this morning I'm here to tell you, if our focus is the Lord Jesus, God will help us through difficult times. Times when we lose loved ones. God cares. Questions like, what do you do when preachers, good, well-meaning people come to you and say the reason your wife is sick is because she's got sin in her life? This morning, I don't worry too much what people think or say. I am more concerned about my relationship with Jesus Christ. Am I in or am I out? Our successes and victories are determined by whether we're in Christ or we're not in Christ. I had all kinds of questions. And I'm not asking for sympathy this morning. I'm just simply trying to tell you the lesson that I learned by adjusting my focus and making it right. Again, I said, did I not love my wife? Yes, I love my wife dearly. Questions came to my mind and said, am I going to lose my wife? What does it look like to have a single-breasted woman? What about our finances? Are we going to have enough money to pay for all these bills? What about our property? Are we going to lose our property? Does it bother me when I look at my wife and realize that she is no longer the same? No hair. Hardly able to care for herself. And folks, we were a typical American couple. Loving. God-fearing. Church-going. Community-loving people. And I, a lot of things happened, a lot of things went through our minds. But there's one thing sure this morning. We had to make some adjustments to our focus. I had to, you may not, but I had to. That dare not become our primary focus. Paul says the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the hereafter. Do I still worry about the future? Sure, I worry about the future. Our relationship with Jesus is not contingent upon what happens to us. It is only by the grace of God that we are what we are. And if we don't adjust our focus and keep our focus on the Lord Jesus, you're not going to make it. Even now, sometimes I still have to make daily adjustments to that focus. It's not what we know, how much money, who we are, or what church we go to. It's not how successful or affluent that we become is. The question is God first in my life? Many talk about it, but few walk it. A right focus will produce right action. We cannot have a wrong focus and expect to have a right action, to have right actions. Our root system or our belief system will determine the quality of our fruit or the quality of our life. The intensity of our desire will determine the direction of life or the quality of life. Regardless what we go through this morning, our struggles we have, we must maintain our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, as time goes on, and as we've talked about perilous times this morning, unless you and me determine in our hearts that we're going to stand for Jesus Christ regardless what may come, we're not going to make it. We're either in or out. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." This peace is not attained to by human effort or human attainment. This is not just a state of tranquility, not just a feel good on a Sunday, but it's a daily, hourly walk with God. If we allow the Lord, He will cause His completeness or His perfection to keep us from fragmenting our lives through compromise or folly, known or unintended. We need to listen to that internal umpire, the Holy Spirit, and listen to Him when He talks to us and tells us, "This is the way, walk ye in it." When our heart's focus is correct, the heart integrity level is maintained through sensitivity and obedience. I think our time's slipping away here. We're much like Adam and Eve were. Did God really mean what He said? Alrighty, how can I maintain my focus? Number one, realize God is God and we're not. There's no way that we can guide our steps aright without Jesus in our heart. Alrighty, 1A under the first one. First one is realizing God is God and we're not. Point 1A is there needs to be a proper regard for God. And we can enlarge on this, but time's not going to permit us to. Point B, under one, we need a proper regard for ourselves. If you don't think well of yourself, and this is not proud, boastful, or haughty, but if we don't have a proper regard for ourselves, it's pretty difficult to have a proper regard for God or anyone else. Point C, under one, there needs to be a healthy spirit control. Point number two. We need to ask God for help. Sometimes we're too proud to admit that we have a problem. And we tried to carry it along and carry it along and carry it along. And all God wants is for us to ask Him to help us. Ask God for help. Number three, we need to make a confession of all known sin. Number four, we need to accept God's forgiveness. If we draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to us. Number five, make restitution as the Spirit directs you. Number six, surrender your whole life to Jesus as Lord. Scripture tells us, in all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Number seven, meditate on God's goodness and faithfulness. My personal experience is that one right there. Meditating on God's goodness, meditating on God's faithfulness, meditating on God's handiwork, meditating on God's creation, sitting on the front porch with a cup of coffee and meditating on the good things of God and what God has done for you. It's the answer to loneliness, folks. Sure, I get lonely. But that's not my focus. My focus is on God's creation and God's goodness. Number eight, we dare not underestimate spiritual opposition. Number nine, pray like you've never prayed before. I'd like to close with this thought. The word push. P-U-S-H. That simply means pray until something happens. Be specific. Specific. Pray often. Pray earnestly. Just tell it like it is. God understands and God cares. Are you in or out? Are you abiding in Christ or are you not abiding in Christ? You know, we'd think it pretty silly if we see Harold go out in his vehicle and keep half of his body on the outside and try to shut the door and go down the road. We think that'd be pretty silly, pretty dangerous, isn't it? Folks, in the spiritual sense, it's just as silly. Yeah, it is. In trying to be inside part of the time and outside the other times. We're either in or out. And nowhere in Scripture can I find that that is justifiable. You keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Can't find it. In fact, over in Revelation 3 it says, I would that thou wert either cold or hot. And He says that if we're lukewarm, He's going to spew us out of our mouth. That's either in or out, isn't it? Sure is. In or out. Abiding. This word carries the thought wishing to be nowhere else. I'm abiding in Jesus. So I don't care. It doesn't matter. I don't want to be anywhere else. Or it carries also with it the thought, satisfied with God and where God has placed me. I'm abiding. Are you abiding? Are you satisfied with the way God has made you? I could say a lot more things about some of these things, but I'm going to quit. This morning, I'd just like to challenge you. Be sure you're either... No, be sure that you're in and not out. Because, as the songwriter says, Jesus is coming soon. And if you look at the world conditions and the world happenings, it can't be far away. And when we're ready, when we're abiding, we don't have to worry too much about what's going to happen. If they take our life, so be it. So be it. If they take everything away from us, so be it. God will take care of us. We might go hungry a little, but God will take care of us. We worry about things that we shouldn't worry about. Let's abide in Jesus, shall we pray. Dear Father, this morning, we come to you to thank you again for your goodness to us and your mercies new to us every morning. Thank you, Lord, that you care. And thank you, Lord, that we can abide in you. God, we pray that you just help us that we would have our focus always on you. And that we would not focus so much on our problems and difficulties, whether it's financial or whatever it is, socially or whatever our problem may be, help us, or sickness or health. Help us, Lord, that we would not focus on that, but that we would focus on Jesus, because Jesus is greater than all our problems. So help us that we may focus on God. God, we need your help. This morning we pray that you just go up and down these aisles and touch every heart with your Spirit, and may your Word become alive to each one of us. And may you help us that the Word that we've heard this morning through Sunday school and the message, that you would help us that we would take it in and digest it and make it a part of our very life, our very being. Help us to realize this morning it's not enough just to hear it, but we need to put it to shoe leather. God bless this congregation. Those that go in and out these doors from Sunday to Sunday, watch over them and care for them. And Father, we'll just honor you, glorify you, and praise you because you alone are worthy. We ask it in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.